Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
People have now died in the U.S. of COVID-19. Meanwhile, George Floyd, a viewing for him in his hometown of Houston, has held thousands show up to pay their respects. And a Portland police chief steps down amid the Floyd protests. So lots of reactions there. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope you had a great weekend and your week is off to a much better start. I know a lot of people are starting to get out there because, depending on where you live, there's different phases or whatever the area may call it, your governor and what they decided to do with COVID-19 and whether it was 50% and social distancing measures and masks required in some place. Every place seems to be different. At the top of the show, I always give those totals to emphasize where we're at as a nation. Recovered, by the way, 531,000. That's out of 2 million confirmed cases. Nationwide, or worldwide rather, 397,000 deaths. Confirmed cases, 6.8 million. And I had an interesting conversation with someone today whose father went through and survived the Spanish flu. And, of course, the Spanish flu took down so many, 50 million in the United States. And they were trying to make the comparison to me about the two. And here's the thing. We do know what didn't work, which was, in the beginning, not wearing masks, being close together in Philadelphia, where my great-grandmother died of it, where they held a parade and people weren't worried about it. It's tough when you look at a virus and think, well, it's spring, it's nice, it's warm, and this isn't it supposed to be better in warm weather? And, of course, the fear is when too many people get together, they're not social distancing. What is that going to mean a couple weeks later? It's going to take a couple weeks to know, just like what Memorial Day was like in the Lake of the Ozarks and some other places. Will we see that pop up? It already has popped up in some of the college football programs. They're starting to see that that is happening, where a few of the players have tested positive, and you have to think about what are they doing to try to eliminate those possibilities. And the NFL, despite the bright sunny face they're putting on it, they're concerned about what are they going to do when everybody comes back as far as players full force, and you look at the locker room situations and how do you do the social distancing and how do you make sure that's all separated. And the answer is, you got to look at what's working with other places, because there are places that have done it. They're getting creative with plastic shields and separators and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's a major shift in the way business is being done all over the place. And, you know, not just for sports, but obviously in all of our individual lives, what we're seeing when we walk into stores and what the protocol is and, you know, what's working, what's keeping us safe, and for God's sake, when are we getting this vaccine? The vaccine trials are going on right now, and there are close to almost a dozen of them that are happening. And that comes when there's more of an outcry for people to please not ingest bleach. Because there was, this was about a month ago, where there were people that had it in their head based on some offhand comment the president said, some of them anyway, that they should take bleach in some form. And it seems like it would be common sense not to eat or drink cleaning products. You see those warnings all over the place. but you don't want to wash your food with bleach, and I guess some people are doing that. So Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is suggesting, you know, don't throw this out the window. Don't throw common sense out the window. They did a survey that was published heading into the weekend. 39% of 502 people who responded reported engaging in non-recommended high-risk practices. So what were the high-risk practices? Using bleach on food, using household cleaning or disinfectant products to their skin, inhaling, ingesting, any of that kind of stuff. No, 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 no. You don't want to do that, obviously. Only 58% of the people knew bleach shouldn't be mixed with ammonia. That's a cocktail that'll kill you. The gas that would be emitted from that, I mean, oh my gosh, the reaction that you would have as a result of that. You know, there's something you always keep handy, the National Poison Hotline. If you think about mixing things, think again. You want to be super, super careful. I mean, listen, if you had no idea and you looked at it and you thought, could I do this? Are there things I could sanitize? I mean, there's problems anyway with certain things that you spray and how that can affect you, the fumes. But certainly nothing with bleach. So as I said, it's a process of reopening. That's what we're seeing. And it's been a full 2 weeks since the horrific death of George Floyd, which really there's agreement across the board when you look at what happened with the technique in Minneapolis. The president mentioned it. Of course, Republicans and Democrats mentioned it. But then that's where everybody parts company. So what happens with protests? What do we do as a result of? There's been a call to defund police departments, especially in Minneapolis, where there's a great chance that that could happen. They've had lots of problems there, so that's nothing new. And this has just exacerbated that even more. And there's the potential for it. But what does it mean? And this is, I think, part of what the discussion is. When you defund a police department, what is that? You know, what does it mean? And it means you're taking money from one place and you're putting it in another place. And what does that look like in a community project? And some people believe that the solution to police brutality and racial inequality in policing is defund it. Defund it, defund it, defund it, meaning you take a sizable chunk of the city's budget that's invested in communities and most of it marginalized, let's say, because they have to move money around, and instead you flip the equation around. So you just move it around and let it work its way through that way. And so it depends on who you ask as to whether or not this is the right kind of concept, and what would public safety look like? You know, who are you calling if the police are defunded? I asked somebody that question today, and they said, well, you know, is it an emergency? You call 911. Someone had a heart attack. It's the EMTs that come. Is there a fire? You call the police department. But there's all that wonky stuff in between. Think of robberies. Think of response to suspicious activity or whatnot. So there is a real divide on what to do, but there is a big cry for defunding police. And where would the money then be pointed? Numbers including that, where do the dollars go? We're talking about it on the flip side.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6 or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with 2 cruisers, 1 American, 1 German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. Members of the Minneapolis City Council on Sunday announced they're going to defund and dismantle the city's police department following the police killing of George Floyd. The council president, Lisa Bender, said, "We're committed to dismantling policing as we know it in the city of Minneapolis and to rebuild our community with a new model of public safety that actually keeps our community safe." With 9 votes, the city council would have a veto-proof supermajority of the council's 13 members to do that, and that is their pledge. She said, "We need to listen, especially to our black leaders, to our communities of color for whom policing is not working, and really let the solutions lie in our community." They've been pressed for details on what that would look like, and the easy answer is that they're looking at shifting police funding toward community-based strategies, and the city council is discussing how to replace the current police department. They looked at the 911 calls and found they were mostly for health, EMT, fire services, mental health services, that kind of thing. But this would be a huge step for Minneapolis to do it. It's been discussed before, and it's happened temporarily before in Camden, New Jersey, and there are lots of people reacting to defunding the police departments, that others are talking about doing that across the nation, and of course not going over well with most politicians anyway. The president says, "Do not defund and abolish the police department." He put out a tweet that pretty much said that in the wake of what happened. He says that law and order, not defund and abolish the police. The radical left Democrats have gone crazy, and Trump's campaign is appealing to voters' alarm by scenes of course, protests, along with law enforcement groups that have been traditionally popular in the U.S. Now, Joe Biden also is saying that he does not support defund the police as well, because he said he doesn't believe that approach is the correct approach either. So it'll be interesting to watch where all of this goes. While Biden is supporting demonstrators marching against police brutality and racism and is proposing overhauling police tactics, but he's not supporting defunding law enforcement. His criminal justice reform plan, he says, calls for $300 million investment in community-oriented policing, but not defunding it. And I think we're going to hear this more and more throughout the campaign. Obviously, it's going to be something that's going to be talked about. Major League Baseball, 76-game season, playoffs up to 16 teams. That's the conversation happening. However, players have refused cuts beyond what they agreed to in March after the pandemic began. So there are some acrimonious labor relations going on. It is jeopardizing the possibility of a 4th of July opening to empty ballparks, and that's so far. The proposal has not been accepted. Major League Baseball's latest proposal would guarantee 50% of players' prorated salaries over the regular season. The proposal would eliminate all free agent compensation for the first time since that free agent era started in 1976, so that's a big one. And it would also forgive 20% of the $170 million in salaries already advanced to players during April and May. And now it's a waiting game to see whether or not they're going to be able to pull it off. There is a chance players won't accept the proposal as is, and then maybe they go back to the drawing board. And who knows? Because tick, tick, tick. The time keeps on ticking as to whether or not they can kick this thing off and get some semblance of a season going. All right, this is a big one. Researchers using satellite data, and I was watching this horrified, not surprised, I have to say, that the coronavirus outbreak in China started much sooner than reported. So a new Harvard Medical School study found this, check it out, that there was up to a 90% increase. That'll wake you up. Are you asleep out there? 90% increase in hospital automobile traffic in the fall of 2019 compared to the previous year at the Wuhan Medical University that's located in the city, of course, where the virus originated. And the spike in car traffic was noted as early as mid-September. I mean, significant. It looked like a concert. I saw it, the infrared. It looked like a concert was going on. So why was that happening? People were going in because they had symptoms, and what they were going in for was symptoms of what turned out to be COVID-19. But Chinese officials didn't notify the World Health Organization until December 31st that a new pathogen had been spreading in Wuhan. So the dramatic increase in hospital traffic coincided with the increase in internet searches on symptoms that would be associated with the coronavirus, like diarrhea and cough, for example. And counting cars and looking at that metric is significant to do that. I'm just saying, imagine if things were known before that, what would it have been like for us in the United States, but what would it have been like for the people in China, too, as well, or anybody else, where everybody, where we've dealt with COVID-19. It's a question of raising bond to $1 million. A judge on Monday set $1 million bail for a Minneapolis police officer, former, charged with second-degree murder in George Floyd's death. Derek Chauvin said almost really nothing during an 11-minute hearing where he appeared before a judge on closed-circuit television from the state's maximum security prison in Oak Park Heights. His attorney didn't contest the bail. It was raised from the $500,000 initially set in the case and didn't address the charges, which also include third-degree murder, second-degree manslaughter. His next appearance, June 29th. And, of course, Chauvin and three other officers on the scene were fired the day after Floyd's death. And that's ignited the calls for what I talked about already in Minneapolis to defund the police department. So, again, it doesn't make an appearance until the end of June. Speaking of police, New York is going to lift the veil on police disciplinary files. So there's a decades-old law that kept law enforcement officers' disciplinary records secret in New York, and that's going to be overhauled, according to what the state lawmakers are saying anyway. It goes back to this police accountability thing. The state law there is known by its section title 50-A, passed in the 70s to prevent criminal defense attorneys from subjecting officers to cross-examinations about irrelevant information in their personnel file, which you could see how that could get out of control and could happen. And it applied to jail guards and firefighters as well. But over the years, because of some of the misconduct complaints, there's been conversation about doing that. And now that is what's being discussed. They plan to pass a repeal this week, and then Governor Cuomo said he intends to sign it, saying that such records are already really available for other government employees like teachers and public employees. So if they're available for them, then why shouldn't it be available for police, etc.? The leaders of a coalition of police unions argued that releasing the records, including complaints, could leave officers facing irreparable harm to reputation and livelihood. So they say they're going full steam at this. They're not going to, they listen to what they had to say, but they're not going to not lift that veil. And this, again, squarely goes back to George Floyd and the discussions of what can be done, not just in Minneapolis, but what other people are looking at doing. And New York is poised to do that sooner rather than later, as fast as they possibly can, is really the way Cuomo put it. So you would think that that's going to happen. The president said it's going to happen with rallies. His people say within 2 weeks there are going to be some rallies that are going to be held for the president, MAGA campaign rallies. We're not exactly sure. They're looking at places and say they're anxious to get going on the campaign trail once again. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
After this weekend, painted in bright yellow letters outside the White House are the words "Defund the Police," which is a rallying cry for a movement to combat police brutality and racism that has exploded across the nation. And President Donald Trump says that will not be happening in America.
We can't give up the finest law enforcement anywhere in the world. There's nothing like it. Few people, few countries have our record. And I'm talking about the positive record. So we're going to be discussing some ideas and some concepts and some things. But we won't be defunding our police. We won't be dismantling our police. We won't be disbanding our police. We won't be ending our police force in a city. I guess you might have some cities that want to try, but it's going to be very, very sad situation.
Attorney General William Barr has maintained a more hopeful rhetoric that police reform could be achieved without defunding the police. This is USA Radio News. A Virginia man who allegedly drove his truck into a crowd of peaceful protesters over the weekend is the admitted leader of the Ku Klux Klan. In a statement, Henrico Commonwealth Attorney Shannon Taylor described the man, identified as Harry Rogers, a propagandist of the Confederate ideology. Rogers has been charged with assault, battery, attempted malicious wounding, and felony vandalism in the incident north of downtown Richmond. Authorities are investigating whether hate crime charges should be brought against him. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who is facing murder charges on the fatal arrest of George Floyd, was granted a $1 million bail with conditions at his first court appearance. Chauvin is facing charges of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter in Floyd's death. The former officer appeared in the Hennepin County Court through video conferencing from prison. The former officer has not yet entered a plea. Three other officers in the case were charged with aiding and abetting Chauvin and were granted bail last week. This is USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun owners population guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
I'm such a huge fan of Abraham Lincoln's. I can't even imagine tackling his story, but someone who's done it so beautifully, and this book is fantastic, is Joseph Rota. He's in our virtual green room right now, and he's written a book called Abraham Lincoln, Making a Case, The Story of a Master. Joe, thanks so much for coming on.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for the invitation.
So what made you write this book? Why'd you write the book?
It was really to share what I had come to learn in my own research of Lincoln's ability to persuade in speeches and on paper. I began this project as a result of giving seminars to lawyers and laypeople, and was constantly met with suggestions that I should write this. And so I did. As the research for it became greater, the notes expanded, it kind of lent itself to the format that was ultimately chosen. But I found that most people, like myself, before I began this research, were not aware, even lawyers were not aware, for example, of how good he was in the courtroom before he turned to politics.
And so, you know, you talk about, you already mentioned the word persuasion. What made him so good at persuasion?
It was a combination of things. His personality, his intellect, and his credibility, and then his masterful use of clarity, fact, logic, and emotion.
So tell us about personality, because I think people don't know a lot about Lincoln's personality.
He loved to speak. He used to say he drew energy from it. He could try a case all day and then go give a lecture for 3 or 4 hours the same night. He also wanted recognition. He was very ambitious, and politics was the fastest way to recognition in his day. And he was a perfectionist and willing to spend the time in research, analysis, had an ear for rhythm in speech, which lent further power to his speeches and to his writings.
Boy, yeah, I would agree with that after going back and looking at some of his work. What would you say were, when you look at the speeches that he gave, were his two biggest speeches that people remember and really show how he was at persuasion and the gift of how he weaved his words?
Probably the Gettysburg Address and his second inaugural address, the two speeches of his that are etched into his monument in Washington. The Gettysburg Address, and both of them were short. We think of Lincoln sometimes with his three-hour speeches, which was common in that day for orators. But these two were very short, 200 words for Gettysburg and just a little over 700 for the second inaugural.
Wow. And, you know, you talk about how he loved to speak. You talk about his intellect. And the thing that so many of us remember, we learned it when we were kids. This is one thing we learned for sure. His nickname, Honest Abe. Why did he have such credibility?
He believed that if you were going to persuade someone, he said, you must first make him think you are his friend. And he conveyed that in many ways. He conveyed sincerity. He conveyed goodwill and good humor, often responding to a nasty comment by one of his opponents with a joke, one of the many that he stored for the proper occasion. He also conceded points that were true or not essential to his case, which lent credibility then to the points that he did emphasize very strongly.
Yeah, and he knew how to emphasize them for sure. We're speaking with Joe Rota, Abraham Lincoln Making a Case, the Story of a Master. You can pick it up on Amazon. We're in the era of fact-checking. You know, we're always fact-checking politicians, and then we have fake news versus fact. And you say that Lincoln was a stickler for fact. Tell us
absolutely
about that.
Absolutely. His youngest partner, after his death, said that Lincoln would not speak about anything until he could learn as much as possible about it. When he became president, for example, he recognized he had no military background to speak of, and he became the single biggest borrower from the Library of Congress. And the texts that he was taking out were military ones. But whether it be an issue in his cases as a lawyer, or an issue in politics, he researched things to get the facts, and then once he had them, he emphasized them. He emphasized that a statement he had just made was not his opinion, but a fact. And then he challenged his opponents to meet his facts with contrary, true facts, and he pounced when the opponent could not do so. It was, in many ways, his tremendous command of facts that so impressed the audiences that heard him. They would see him for the first time, and he was gangly, awkward, looked like anything but a statesman. And then he would come out with this beautiful, magnificently arranged array of fact after fact after fact. It was said that by the time he finished his rendition of facts, his argument had already been made. It also said that for the first 30 minutes of one of his speeches, as he laid out his facts, all his opponent could do was sit there and nod yes.
Because they were stunned. They had no response back to that. Boy, and that illustrates it. So you look at Lincoln, and often politicians hearken back to Lincoln for a reason. How do you think Lincoln would do today?
I think he would do very well. He was a very intelligent person. He used to deprecate his intelligence, saying that his mind was like steel or a hard rock, very difficult to get anything etched into it, and then once in it, very difficult, almost impossible to get it out. But in fact, he had a first-rate mind. This is a man who had less than a year of formal schooling, and that only in backwards, rural, one-room schoolhouses. He was self-taught on persuasion. This was the era, for example, of oratory. It was the era begun by Daniel Webster, Henry Clay, John Calhoun. orators were celebrities, and because of that, every good school taught oratory and rhetoric. And yet, in this mix, with so many talented orators surrounding him, this one man with no formal education in oratory and virtually no formal education at all rose ultimately above everybody to the highest office in the land. He was very adaptive as a politician. There was no shrewder politician in his day. And I think that without question, he would do very well. While he gave long speeches, he also, as I mentioned, gave short ones very effectively. I cannot imagine anybody being better at a soundbite than the person who authored the statement that the world will little remember, will not long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. Or with malice towards all, with malice towards none, charity for all. Those, the author of that would do very well on TV, in debates, you name it.
Boy, I agree with that, and you're right, because he has those, you know what he would do? He would do so well with hashtags, because everybody would be repeating what he said, and we see that often that still does happen. How does your book, Joe, differ from other books on Lincoln that have been written out there?
Well, biographies of Lincoln mention, of course, his famous speeches and writings, but they do so packaged in with hundreds of pages on the other aspects of his truly fascinating life, and it was truly fascinating. He was Shakespeare in the 19th century. My book focuses on one thing only, his ability to persuade and its importance in his life. And while other books on Lincoln or articles look at a given speech or writing of his, I look at all his important speeches and writings. And while other books look at what made him so good, mine looks at those features, such as credibility, clarity, and the rest, in greater detail than I have found in other resources on him.
And Joe's book again, Abraham Lincoln, Making a Case, The Story of a Master. And you can find it again, Joseph Rota. Look there. It's easy to look it up on Amazon. Who do you think would love this book? I think anyone could use this book, frankly. But for whom do you think this book would be of interest?
Well, certainly anyone who seeks to persuade. And I'm not just speaking of lawyers such as myself, but anyone, salespeople, politicians, whatever. But also, I think any of the thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of Lincoln fans, this book gives a slice of his life in detail that was all important. And indeed, we remember Lincoln for many things, but without his ability to persuade, we would remember him for nothing. We would never have heard of him. It was this talent, and only that talent, that propelled him from a local out-of-office politician with no apparent future for anything to the highest office in the land and the place in history that he has.
Well, again, it's so interesting to read this book, and you just summed up the reasons why. Just quickly, 30 seconds left. Joe, was it fun writing this?
Very much fun. Yes, I enjoyed the evolution of it. There were times when I wondered, would I really get it into a book form? But it was, I learned so much about him and so much more impressive than when I began.
Perfect place to end this. Abraham Lincoln, Making a Case, The Story of a Master. Joe Rota, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Abraham Lincoln, I would like to go back in time and be your wife.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships, currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
House flies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
It's an exciting new phase. We're all anxious to get back to work. We want to do it smartly. We want to do it intelligently, but we want to do it. And that's what this week is going to be all about.
That's the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, talking about getting back to work in New York. They have had the most deaths. I've talked about that, particularly in the boroughs, obviously, versus the whole state. But he's optimistic, trying to do what others are trying to do and figure out how to get people out there if they have a job. 33 million people have filed for unemployment. And if you look at the unemployment numbers now, staggering, the people who are not working. In fact, just a handful of days ago, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that 14.7% unemployment rate, 14.7%. Think the depression and you got it. That's where we're at. So I hope that people are going to be able to come out of the pandemic, and I always say this when I'm speaking, refocus, reimagine, reinvent, because I think a lot of people are going to have to do that, frankly, to stay alive. This is not the world that we once lived in that we're going to go back to. Joining us now, he's in our virtual green room, and his name is Marco Greenberg, and he's the president of Thunder 11 and he's the author of a book called Primitive, Tapping the Primal Drive That Powers the World's Most Successful People. He probably found out some of the things that I found out interviewing wildly successful people in business. I did it with sports and with CEOs. And he knows from the C-suite, certainly, what the people are looking at from that level as far as the people underneath them and who can they bring back if they've had furloughs and all that sort of thing and what companies are doing to reinvent. Marco, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Okay, great being with you.
So you are an advisor and a confidant to CEOs. So let's talk at that level first. What are CEOs scrambling to do now at this point when some of our most profitable industries and companies are finding themselves with half a paddle and trying to figure out if they can even stay in the game in some cases?
Yeah, well, you're so right. This is a time when people are reinventing themselves and trying to think about how they're going to put food on the table for their families. And to a large extent, the C-level executive is thinking about the same thing. How do they find people that are going to take their organization to the next level? How are they going to find people to create new streams of revenue? And like you, Kate, I've been fortunate to work with the C-suite and work with people that range from CEOs of Fortune 500 companies to CEOs of tech startups, founders of unicorns, mad scientists, crazy artists, etc. And I found that these are people that often march to their own drum. They throw out the civilized rule book. They are hard to put in a certain category, right? We like to categorize people and say they're introverts or they're extroverts, they're left brain or they're right brain, they're entrepreneur or they're corporate, they're morning people or they're night people. In the interest of full disclosure, I'm a morning person, quite frankly, so I just want to lay that on the table. But I think there's something more primal going on. From what I've seen, a lot of these people tap into what's innate, what's inborn, what's instinctive, sometimes even what's impulsive. So others might call them disruptors or change agents or rebels. I reclaim the word primitive, and I mean it in the most pure and positive sense. I know the word is loaded, but I think often these people are exhibiting those kind of traits. What is pure? Not what is necessarily taught, but what they feel. And I think now, no secret, we're dealing in a real primal time, right? We're struggling with the most basic issues of our own mortality, sustenance, shelter, security, etc. So I think now is the time to reclaim what's primitive in all of us.
Oh, I like that. So, you know, and that takes introspection. That means you have to be vulnerable and you have to be accessible to yourself. And Marco, you know this, a lot of people struggle with that.
Oh, you're so right, Kate. You know, one of the things that we talk about in our book is the need to go roaming. And I mean that like our ancient ancestors did on the plateau across the prairie. And I can detail what that stands for. It's an acronym that people can tap who themselves might be listening and say, look, I'm not very primitive. I feel more civilized, right? I'm more process-driven. I cross the T's, dot the I's, et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole spectrum out there, but the I in the roaming stands for insecure. And for a lot of people, that's counterintuitive, right? We've been taught to have the swagger and have the confidence. But what I've seen is some of the great leaders out there can do what you're talking about. They can tap into their vulnerability. They can weaponize their insecurity. A lot of the really, really top players are people who embrace that quality, who sometimes say, look, I feel like an imposter, right? And that contrasts with something that psychologists call the Dunning-Kruger effect, where incompetent people actually think they're competent. So research indicates, for example, that 90% of all Americans say they're above-average drivers. Now, how is that possible statistically, right? It's not. But a lot of people lack that self-awareness, whereas people who are, quote-unquote, successful, and we can talk about how we define that, right? It's not just money. It's also impact and independence and having fun. We found that a lot of those people actually embrace that vulnerability, embrace that insecurity, and say, hey, anxiety sometimes is underrated.
I like that. So that is obviously part of what you have to do to have a successful career in a post-pandemic world. What else would you say?
Well, you come from the world of sports, and I think part of it is doing two things that people say we shouldn't do in business, right? We're often told, don't take it personally. Well, I don't know about that. I'll give you an example that might ring true to you. Remember John Randall, the defensive lineman for the Minnesota
yes.
Vikings?
Oh, yeah.
Right. he took it plenty personally, right? He is someone that had a bit of a chip on his shoulder, was told he was too small, didn't have the stats to play in the NFL. He turned out to have more sacks than any other defensive lineman in the National Football League. He's one person we talk about. I don't want to just stick to football, but another that comes to mind is Dan Mullen, the head football coach of the University of Florida. And he's known as Mr. Relentless, right? Being relentless is part of literally and figuratively the playbook for his Gators. And part of it is taking it personally, is not just being the football coach, but sometimes being the dad figure. His mom is terrific, and she often plays the mom figure on the team in terms of treating these kids like their own kids. And a lot of people from a more civilized, quote-unquote, perspective would say, hey, that's crossing boundaries, but they see it as necessary to win.
I like that. So take it personally. We have a couple of minutes left, but what about people who are in the younger generations, that 16 to 19, they got hit hard by this unemployment. So Gen Z, globals we call them. That's what I call them, globals. Mm-hmm. And also even millennials and others, I guess. How is there going to be this new generation of hungry workers, adaptable hungry workers?
Well, I'm glad you used the word hungry. Look, this is the time where you want to hustle. You want to look at those side gigs. You want to look at that part-time work. You want to cobble it together. And I think this is an age where specialists are going to be punished and generalists are going to be rewarded. So we talked about roaming. For us, that stands for being relentless, and it's not just working hard. It stands for being oppositional. You know about that, to zig when others zag.
Yeah.
We talk about being agnostic. So, yes, jumping from field to field, sometimes job to job, industry to industry. It's being messianic. So you really think there's a calling out there that you have, that you're on planet Earth for. We talked about insecure. Sometimes you've got to be a little nuts, crazy in a positive sense, and certainly gallant. You've got to think of others. So applying it to that Generation Z and millennials, I give two pieces of advice. One is go to where the food is. Go to where they're hiring, right? If you're looking for a job in a restaurant or a hotel, now's not the time. Instead, look at the grocery market. Look at the e-commerce play. Look at places that probably you hadn't thought of before. And the second piece of advice is, you know, not only doing what you're not, quote-unquote, supposed to do, but in your case, doing what's beneath you.
Ah, that's perfect, and a perfect place to end this. Marco Greenberg, pick up his book, Primitive, Tapping the Primal Drive that Powers the World's Most Successful People. Marco, thanks for staying up with us.
Thank you, Gabe. Take care.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.